she gasped or moaned. Lifting her up from the bed, he wasn't giving her time to decide which one it was. He took her clothes off just as fast as he had his own. Then he slammed her ass back down onto the mattress, causing another gasp to escape her. Leaning down to press a quick kiss to her lips, he brought his hands to her shoulders, pushing her farther down on his bed. Chloe could feel the fire between her legs as he braced his hands on the bed next to her and began kissing the side of her neck, working down until he was kissing the cleft between her breasts. She stiffened, the fire wanting to simmer when he went lower, kissing the scars across her abdomen. "Beautiful," he murmured as his tongue wiped every memory of Lucifer inflicting them on her. "I'm never going to let anyone hurt you again, baby." Chloe's breath hitched at the sight and the words he had spoken. How does someone like him exist? "I know you won't." Her trust in him was unbreakable. The fire burned hotter than ever when he slid his mouth lower until his bearded lips hovered over her center. "I'm going to have to go to confession," he told her. "God is going to damn me to hell for what I'm about to do."
What?
With the tip of his tongue, he parted her flesh and swiped up and down her slit. Chloe jumped at the startling sensation, her head falling back and her legs beginning to shake. He pressed his arm into her hips, holding her still. Groaning, he then pressed his mouth closer. "A taste of you is worth a lifetime in hell." When he increased the pressure of his mouth against her, Chloe felt him sliding his tongue inside of her in quick licks, and then deeper as he became more demanding, more hungered. Lifting one of her legs over his shoulder, he plunged his tongue into her writhing body.
"Oh my God," she began panting. "Take me with you."
Her admission had him tightening his grip on her thigh, his mouth working harder, becoming more ravenous. The fire inside of her blazed stronger, each lick exposing nerve endings that had lain dormant until Luca had set them off.
"Luca,"
she loudly moaned. Her nerves had reached their breaking point, sending her to an abyss that she hadn't seen before and didn't want to come back from. As she tried to come back, she felt Luca lower her leg to the bed before his arousal went to where his mouth had been. Her breaths became haggard, her nerves coming back.
I might need to catch my breath.
His hand went to her throat as he stared down at her with fierce eyes that silenced her. Then she felt his arousal start to slide inside as he wrapped his other arm around her. Chloe winced at the slight pain, writhing to adjust herself. "Stay still, Chloe," he demanded as he took her bottom lip between his teeth. "It won't hurt for long." She wasn't so sure. The hand on her throat tightened slightly. "Which one do you think is tighter, my hand or your tight pussy?" At his words, her eyes wanted to roll to the back of her head, and a rush of wetness hit her that made him move more easily inside of her. Without warning, she felt a hard thrust deep inside as he loosened his hand around her neck. When his length started to retreat again, his hold on her throat then tightened. Chloe couldn't regain her equilibrium, becoming lost in the repetitive motions. He was playing her body like a musical instrument, like a violinist that made breathtakingly beautiful music with his hands. The now familiar curling sensation was coming back, making her grab Luca's broad shoulders as she tightened her legs around his hips, thrusting herself up as he thrust down. Luca kept his eyes intently on her scarred face, reading every expression. "You like that, darling?"
Yes,
Chloe cried, shocking herself. She couldn't believe she enjoyed him holding her throat as much as when he rocked inside her body. Now, as he alternated between holding and releasing her throat, it was tighter, rougher, forcing her to look into his blue-green depths.
I love you, Chloe.
She witnessed something different in him as she looked deeper into his eyes. Chloe had thought she needed him, that she depended on him more than he ever needed or depended on her, but that wasn't it at all. Luca needed and depended on her just as much as she did him. Their need and dependency were equal. The relationship between them was just as equal. One was not more important than the other. They both needed one another to survive. The chains that had captured her body, mind, and soul didn't mean Luca owned her. Now she could visibly see he carried his own chains around his body, mind, and soul. The same chains that held her held him. They were held together as one. That feeling, that bond they shared between them, she was now fully able to understand.
We're soulmates.
Chloe felt a tear escape, running down her scar.
I love you, Luca.
His eyes turned a striking shade of green as he tightened his hand around her throat and plunged into her tightness harder.
Again, he ground out.
I love you,
she cried out as he gave a thrust that had her screaming as she fell into the abyss that was waiting for her. And Luca was too. It was like a beautiful nightmare she never, ever wanted to awake from. Chapter 47. Reborn. Now that Chloe and Elle lived right across the hall from each other, they were making up for the time they had missed over the past month. It was like a dream come true. For the first time in her life, Chloe felt like she truly belonged, which was right beside Luca and only a few steps away from her best friend, the girl who had protected her with her own life. Chloe had already applied to the university here in Kansas City, so she would start next semester. She was still trying to figure out what to major in. At Stanford, she had taken a bunch of different classes, trying to figure out what exactly she wanted to do. Luca had assured her, however, that in time she would know what it was. If that was to stay in her greenhouse all day, that was okay by him. The truth was that Chloe had never thought much about a future, because she never really felt like she had one. The only thing she had ever wanted in her future was to leave Kansas City, and college was the best way to do it. Even now, she didn't know what the future held for her, but she knew, as long as it was with Luca, then everything was the way it was meant to be. Her friend, however, still didn't think that.
You know what it means, right? To be with Luca?
Elle asked.
I know.
She tried to assure Elle. Then she looked over at her strangely.
You do know who you're with, right?
Yes, but Nero isn't the underboss.
Has he not told her?
You do know he can be, right? When Luca becomes the boss?
Yes, but he will never be the boss. Elle's big blue eyes drilled into her.
And if Luca has a son?
Chloe swallowed the huge lump that had suddenly formed in her throat. She couldn't believe she had never thought of that.
Oh, shit.
Lake came storming through the door, slamming Nero's door shut behind her.
What's wrong?
Elle asked as their attention went to the tall, furious brunette. Lake fell onto the couch, crossing her arms. I've told Vincent a million freaking times to make Luca find him somewhere else to work. He says he has, but I think he's lying to me. She threw a pillow at a laughing Elle. I don't know why you think it's so funny. Nero's working down there too. Having dodged the pillow, Elle tried to sound confident when she said, "Nero promises he doesn't watch the women."
"Women?"
Lake rolled her eyes. "They aren't blind."
"I don't think he's lying,"
Elle said as she shook her head, but her confidence seemed to be leaving.
"Trust me, they are."
"Maybe it's important they watch the women,"
Chloe said. Luca had told her they were like bouncers protecting the workers. Lake huffed.
"Yeah, it's real important that Nero, Vincent, and Amo watch the women with skimpy outfits give lap dances."
"What? I thought it was an underground casino."
"It is. One where the dealers are all women in slutty outfits."
"That's why Amo loves it down there. Wait.
How do you know so much about it?" Chloe asked, confused.
Elle busted out in laughter. Lake paused, then dodged the question.
"That's beside the point. The point is that Nero and Vincent are down there right now in a sea of practically naked women."
Elle's laughter quickly died, which made Chloe burst out in her own.
"You shouldn't be laughing. Luca practically runs it,"
Elle snapped at her. Her laughter started to die.
He does?"
"Yep."
Elle stuck her tongue out. "Luca isn't so perfect now, is he? Bet his greenhouse ain't so freaking great."
"I trust him,"
she said without a doubt.
"He said he hasn't been with a girl since he met me 9 months ago. I don't have a reason not to trust him."
Elle and Lake stared at her blinking. It was Lake who spoke first, practically fanning herself.
"I'm sorry, Elle. I can't pretend anymore that I'm not Team Luca. Are you sure the greenhouse isn't a sex dungeon?"
"Team Luca? What? No."
Chloe stared at the girls, who appeared a little warm.
"Oh my God,"
Lake whispered, her eyes getting a weird look to them as she looked over at Chloe and then to Elle. The two of them looked like they knew what each other was thinking. Elle scooted closer to her.
"I've changed my mind. Luca is good for you."
"I don't like where..."
Lake scooted closer to her too.
"He will do anything for you, right?"
Leaving Nero's place, she was beginning to think being so close to Elle might not be such a good thing. When one of the guards by the elevator door shifted his feet, it had Chloe turning. Amo's dejected expression remained lowered, not looking her way, showing her he knew she was in the hall. Biting her lip, she tried to decide if she should talk to him. Then, taking a deep breath, she walked down the hall toward him, stopping a few feet away and not getting close enough for him to touch her.
"Amo, may I talk to you?"
He kept his head straight forward, not looking at her.
"I'm working."
I thought you worked downstairs."
She could tell by the look that flashed across his face that he hadn't realized she knew what that meant.
"I have been moved up here."
"Oh."
She figured Luca had taken the job he loved away to punish him. Seeing how much Amo was hurting, it hurt her to know she had done that to him. Regardless, there was nothing she could do. Her saying something about it to Luca would probably only hurt him more, since Luca was still very upset with him. Seeing the cast on his hand, her heart broke a little more.
I'm sorry about your hand."
Amo's jaw flexed, the heartbreak and damage she had caused him so evident in his eyes. Realizing how much of a bad idea this was, she nervously turned to walk away, wanting to cry for what felt like the loss of a great friendship. She was halfway down the hall when she heard his yell.
"Chloe!"
Once upon a time, she would have kept running, but now she stopped, turning around to watch him walk up to her.
"I'm sorry."
Amo raked his hand through his hair.
"I'm sorry for so many fucking things that I wish I could take back. I was the one who led the Lucianos to you. I was the one to call you a freak and not once take up for you in high school.
Please stop punishing yourself, Amo.
She had to stop him, unable to bear his regret.
I don't blame you for any of that.
Amo looked at her, letting her see the pain in his eyes.
I have to. That's the only way I can live with you choosing to be with him after he fucking kidnapped you. If he hadn't, we would have been more than friends. You know that deep down.
I left, Amo.
Her eyes started to water. She hated the way he always made her break his heart even more, but it was the only way she could ever get him to understand.
I was leaving you behind.
I would have come for you.
Amo took a step toward her.
I was coming for you. I did come for you.
She had to look away from him.
I know, but it was too late.
No, it's not. It's not too late, Chloe.
He took another step toward her, the hope in his eyes growing. He prayed she would change her mind and choose him.
It wouldn't have been real between us. You changed around me, and I never changed around you.
She took a step back from him, looking him straight in the eyes.
We were just never meant to be. I know that, because I feel it in my bones. I'm meant to be with him. I am meant to be with Luca.
Amo's eyes became glossy, his vision going toward the ground.
I will always care about you, Amo, but as a friend, the same way I feel about Elle.
His fists began to curl at hearing the word friend.
I fucking hate him for taking you from me.
Chloe shook her head.
Don't blame him. Blame me. It's not Luca's fault I'm not in love with you.
Amo didn't see the silent elevator doors sliding open, but Chloe did. Her eyes pleaded with the man getting off.
Please don't.
When Luca didn't move, she looked back at Amo.
Do you like gardening?
What?
Amo gave a frown of distaste, wondering why she had said that.
No.
Chloe gave a shaky laugh.
I do. I didn't know I did, but I do now. Luca taught me how.
Luca's harsh face relaxed while he remained silent by the elevator.
I have always loved looking at flowers, but I never realized how much work goes into creating a beautiful garden. You have to pull out the weeds to give the flowers' roots room to grow. Luca sat with me for hours upon hours, just helping me pull weeds.
Chloe tucked her hair behind her ear, letting her beautiful, scarred face show proudly.
One by one.
Amo looked up at her, his eyes traveling down her scars, seeing the difference in her now. She had changed. This was it, the moment when she would make her final choice once and for all.
I didn't fall in love with Luca because he kidnapped me. I fell in love with him because he set me free.
Amo's tight fist loosened. The heartbreak was still there, but that little bit of hope in his eyes shattered to where the hope was gone. It was to the point where she didn't know which one was worse.
To have some hope or none at all.
Goodbye, Chloe,
he said with finality, telling her in unspoken words that their friendship was over. It broke her heart to see him end it, yet she understood, seeing the pain it caused him to even look at her.
Goodbye, Amo.
Amo turned, coming face to face with a frightening Luca yet again. She held her breath for a brief moment, hoping he would listen to her pleas and wouldn't do anything. Luca continued staring at a frozen Amo before he passed him, hitting him with his shoulder.
Back to work, soldier.
Thank you.
Chloe let out her held breath as Luca walked toward her, taking her hand. She pressed herself into him, letting him take her weight as they walked into their place. By the time he had closed the door behind them, she had fallen into him, sobbing.
Packing her upstairs and to their bed, he let her cry into his chest as he ran his tender fingers down her back and twirled her tendrils of black hair. When the tears no longer continued to shed, she whispered into the room, "Why does it feel like he died?"
"In a way, he did," he told her regretfully. "But he will be reborn when he finds his new purpose."
Chloe raised her gray eyes to his blue-green ones.
"It happens to every made man once. I thought it happened to me when I first became made, then when my mother died, and then when I saw you for the first time. But that wasn't when it happened either."
When did it? She asked when he didn't continue.
Luca rubbed his finger down her scar. "Maybe I'll tell you one day. But not today, darling."
She snuggled back into him, letting Luca heal her broken heart. "I love you."
"I love you too, darling."
Twirling a strand of her hair, he then dropped it to hold her close.
"Is there anything I can do to make you feel better? I can cook you something."
A slow smile appeared on her lips. Raising her head, she looked back into his eyes playfully. "Anything?" Lucas stared hard into the two men's eyes before him.
"The future of this family."
He took a hit of his cigarette, letting the end burn bright.
"You two owe me."
Nero and Vincent gave a sharp nod to their heads.
"We three have the same problem."
He flicked his ashes into the tray.
"What's that?" Vincent asked.
Nero's emerald eyes narrowed, knowing exactly what it was. "Our women are not Italian." Luca smiled, seeing the wheels turning in their heads.
"They will give you an ultimatum. They will make you choose between the family and your girl. Our fathers have done it to others who will hold lesser power than us, and they will eventually make us choose."
Both Nero and Vincent's jaws squared, knowing it to be true. He could see the two men torn, one side of them who lived and breathed the Caruso family, and the other side finding true love. To make a man choose like that will surely kill him, no matter the choice.
"I gave you both the girl of your dreams, and in return, you will choose them when the decision has to be made."
An evil glow cast over his face.
"As will I. Then the Caruso future will be destroyed."
Nero grinned.
"So, you turn the tables and give them the ultimatum? An ultimatum with only one choice they can live with. Thank you fucking God. I've been waiting for the day when you would finally fuck over my father."
Vincent began praying, a tear looking like it was going to stroll down his cheek.
"And what's even better, I get to help you do it."
Luca stared at the blonde dumbass who thankfully at least had his good looks going for him.
"If you think you are going to be my consigliere, you are shit out of luck."
"I'll be your consigliere,"
Maria chimed in, smiling as she flipped her magazine and tapped her high heels. Vincent scoffed.
"Like he would choose you over me."
"Over you, I would,"
he told him with certainty, hurting his pretty boy pride.
"On one condition," Maria smiled, "that I don't have to be with a man of Italian blood either."
Taking a hit, he blew the smoke at her.
"No."
Her expensive heel stopped tapping the ground.
"We'll see."
Chapter 48. This is your final purpose. Maxwell poured another generous portion of liquor into his glass. He didn't even look to see what he was drinking. As long as it gave him enough of a buzz to hide from the wretched mess he had made out of his life, it didn't matter. He should have put a bullet through his head long ago, but he was too much of a coward. He also could have divorced his bitch of a wife and not cared about the political power he had enjoyed the last few years.
Maxwell?
A woman's sharp voice had him lifting his head from the desk he had been slumped over.
What?
He tried to focus his gaze on his wife as she walked into his office.
Fucking bitch. Is it dinner time?
Elaine curled her lips in disdain. We had dinner 4 hours ago. Maxwell tried to remember what he had eaten, but drew a blank.
I'm not ready for bed. You go ahead.
Don't flatter yourself. I don't care when you go to bed.
Then what do you want?
Maxwell reached for his glass, finding it empty. He started looking for the bottle of liquor, squinting his eyes as he looked around his desk, not seeing it. Then he searched where he must have left it after filling his glass.
Maxwell, can you give me your attention for 1 second?
His wife came to the side of his desk, picking up the bottle from the floor.
Go ahead, I'm listening.
He took the bottle from her and started unscrewing the top.
I just received an interesting phone call.
Tell the telemarketers to call in the morning. Lana can answer their calls.
It wasn't on the house phone, it was on my cell phone.
Then I don't see what it's got to do with me.
He poured another full glass, waiting for her to leave before drinking it. It wouldn't be worth the bitch session if he drank it in front of her. Elaine moved the drink away.
Will you listen to me, you drunk?
Seeing she finally had his attention, she said, I just received a strange call. The caller asked me if I knew where my daughter was.
If she wanted to talk to Chloe, why didn't she just call her?
He asked stupidly.
It was a man, she revealed. I told him she was at college.
So?
He just wished she would leave.
Did he say what he wanted?
No.
He said, wrong answer, and hung up. Elaine gave a slight shiver, though she was practically made of steel. Maxwell shrugged.
If you care so much, look at your recent calls and call him back.
I did. No one answered, and it went to voicemail.
I don't know what the big deal is. It's a fucking telemarketer. Block their call.
It was just strange, and I did block him, she snapped back. I'm going to bed.
Her irritating high heels clicked on the hardwood floors as the bitch left him in peace. Finishing his drink, he slumped back down in his chair, dozing off. The urgent need to take a piss had him jerking awake. He unsteadily left his office to go to the powder room, almost not making it. When he was finished, he splashed cold water on his face. He was getting old. His heavy drinking was beginning to affect his appearance. Unable to stare at the man in the mirror any longer, Maxwell exited the powder room, going back inside his office. Throwing the empty liquor bottle into the trash can beside his desk, he went to the liquor cabinet for another one. He was reaching for the brandy when his cell phone rang on his desk. Taking the liquor with him, he picked up the phone, seeing it was an unidentified number. He almost didn't answer, but the thought of another pesky telemarketer calling Elaine if he didn't had him hitting the accept button.
Hello, he slurred out. Do you know where your wife is?
The male voice sent a chill down his spine. Trying to fight through the self-induced alcohol haze, Maxwell asked,
Who is this? Do I know where my wife is?
Maxwell snorted sarcastically.
She's in her fucking bed. Next time ask me if my refrigerator is running.
Maxwell ended the call. He thought prank calls had gone out of style decades ago. Pouring his drink, he was about to sit back down in his chair when he heard Elaine calling his name from the kitchen. He almost didn't respond to her, thinking it was just the prankster calling her now. She would never shut up about it. However, after downing the glass of brandy in one swallow, he walked toward the kitchen.
"Is it another tele?"
Maxwell blinked owlishly at the man standing in his kitchen.
"What are you doing here?"
"Shut up and sit the fuck down,"
Luca ordered. Paling, Maxwell went to the table and clumsily sat down before turning to look at his wife, who was sitting next to him. Her normally styled hair was in disarray, and it took him a few drunken moments to realize that each of her hands were zip-tied behind her back.
"Why the fuck is she tied?"
Maxwell lurched forward when a hard hand pressed against his back before it twisted his hands roughly behind his back. When he would have tried to stop him, Luca punched him in the side of his face. Dazedly, Maxwell started to fall out of the chair, but Luca held him upright as he zip-tied his wrists to the arms of the chair. He nearly pissed himself when Luca tugged the chair away from the table and started zip-tying his ankles to each leg of the chair. Then he began crying.
"Tell me what you want. You want more money. I can get it for..."
"This isn't about money," Luca said as he stood up, pushing Maxwell's chair back toward the table when he was done.
Then he moved to the other side of the table to stare at them.
"Then what do you want?"
Maxwell cried.
"Shut up, Maxwell," his wife hissed. "Luca, we have a profitable relationship with the Carusos.
The Carusos will no longer be doing business with you. Your dealings with Lucifer voided any promises we made."
Maxwell started sobbing as he stared at the boogeyman's heartless, frightening eyes, knowing he was fucked. Luca's cold voice cut through his tears.
"I got a new dog, and he told me a story about how you sold your daughter's soul to the devil, that he would get her when she reached the age of 18.
Maxwell's crying sobs turned into whimpers.
"Shut the fuck up,"
his wife screamed at him, her chair nearly tilting sideways.
"You're going to get us killed."
Then she turned her attention to Luca.
"I told Lucifer he could have Chloe when she left for college. I would have given her to you if that..."
Luca backhanded her across the face, effectively shutting her up.
"Not another fucking word out of your fucking mouth unless I address you," he sneered.
You could see Elaine's fear now as she realized she would not be able to talk her way out of this. Luca walked over to the counter, picking up a briefcase and placing it on the table in front of them. Then he adjusted his arm, making his black suit jacket rise up as he looked down at his watch. Staring at the demon in front of him, who was dressed in an expensive black Italian suit, Maxwell felt the impending doom.
"I'm going to die."
Luca set a cell phone down on the table in front of the briefcase.
"Before I forget, where do you keep your chili recipe?"
"Huh?"
Maxwell stared at him, not sure he was hearing him right.
"Your chili recipe, I want it now,"
he demanded from Elaine this time. Maxwell stared in horror as Luca grabbed a fistful of Elaine's hair and slammed her head down onto the table when she didn't answer fast enough.
"I don't know."
A trickle of blood ran out of her nostrils.
"I don't do the cooking anymore."
Maxwell lost control over his once again full bladder, and he pissed himself when Luca turned toward him.
"Lana's recipes are in the cabinet by the stove."
As Luca walked away from them, Maxwell twisted his neck to see Luca take the recipe box out of the cabinet. Then he watched as the boogeyman went through the recipes until, with a smile of satisfaction, he found the one he was looking for, putting the rest of the recipes back in the box and leaving it on the counter. When he returned to stand next to them, tears were burning Maxwell's face. Even his wife started crying when Luca cut one of the zip ties off one of her arms, then turned to do the same thing to one of Maxwell's.
"Listen up. I'm only going to speak my instructions once."
Luca moved to the side, opening the briefcase. If he hadn't already pissed himself, Maxwell would have then at the sight of what was inside the case. His wife was crying as hard as he was now. Luca pushed a button, triggering a light to go from red to green. Closing the briefcase, he then twirled the tiny numbers on the handle.
"You have 5 minutes to get yourselves loose. Then call Chloe. She has the combination. If you don't have enough time to get all the ties off, Chloe is your only chance."
He set a disposable phone on top of the case. Neither of them turned to look at Luca when he left with the recipe. Maxwell had already started struggling to get the tie off his free hand. When he did, he quickly lunged toward the phone, still zip-tied at the ankles. Grabbing the phone, he dialed Chloe, then held it shakily up to his ear. He heard one ring after another, wondering if she would ever pick it up.
"Fucking answer!"
Finally, when the phone was answered, they both screamed her name.
"Chloe!"
A deadly voice came through the line, making Maxwell lose control of all his bodily functions.
"Sorry, Chloe's busy."
His eyes went to the suitcase as flames engulfed his skin. Maxwell had sold his daughter's soul to the devil to escape hell, only for the boogeyman to send him straight to hell in a ball of flames. The naked man in the corner of the room sat up slowly, using the pipe he was chained to and grimacing as he did. Luca stepped closer to the bloodied man, his eyes scanning the hundreds of knife cuts that had been given to him. Every single mark he had given to Chloe meant 50 for him.
"You did it, didn't you?"
Lucifer's black eyes took in his attire.
"You killed her parents."
Luca nodded. "You were right. They did give her to you." Lucifer's maniacal laugh had blood spitting out his mouth before his ominous gaze went back to his.
"Did it help?"
"Some," Luca admitted. "But we both know it never gets satiated."
"No, it doesn't. Not for men like us."
Lucifer smiled evilly, clearly remembering a fond memory. Looking at the scar that had almost taken out the devil's eye, Luca admired how he had gotten closer than he thought he could without actually taking it.
"I still remember it like it was just yesterday, the day you proved yourself and became a made man. It was the first time I saw you in a suit."
Lucifer smiled, wiping the blood away from his mouth and causing it to smear across his lips.
"At first, I thought Dante was crazy to let you try to get the information out of that rat who had stolen our money. But then, when I looked into your eyes, I could see it. The darkness lurking behind them. You put on quite a show for only being 17.
"Imagine how fast I could get him to speak now," Luca said. Seeing this was going to take longer than expected, he pulled out a cigarette, lighting the end.
"Do you know what I thought when you were done with him?"
Lucifer asked. He exhaled deeply, smoke filling the room as he asked,
"What?" "I wish he were my son," the devil revealed. "We could have ruled this city together."
Luca smiled as he squatted down, stopping at eye level with the crazed black orbs.
"I do, with your son."
"Ah, the great Salvatore."
The devil raised his hand like the name was on a billboard.
"The son your father stole from me.
You mean the son who would have fucking starved to death if he had waited for you to realize he's a genius? Lucifer shrugged.
He doesn't have our trait, though. Me and you. We could have done some great things together if you had just been born on the opposite side of the tracks.
The burn from the cigarette glowed off his face when he inhaled harshly. Black eyes blazed back at him.
How does it feel to know you could be me someday?
You know that's not true. Not anymore. Lucas stared at the demented man before him, knowing it could have very well been a mirror between them, showing him what he would have looked like many years down the road if I hadn't met Chloe. I met her before I walked down that path alone for too long. Unlike you. Lucifer's maniac face changed into one of jealousy.
I made her beautiful.
No, you just framed her beauty for me to see. The jealousy grew worse in his eyes.
I still touched her foot.
Grabbing his face, Luca held the devil's mouth open as he shoved his smoking cigarette down his throat, making him swallow it. Lucifer coughed, puffing out smoke while the hot, burning stick slid down the inside of his body. Then the maniacal laughter came back.
When will you do it? When will I serve the boogeyman's purpose so you can finally send me to hell?
Luca was now the one to throw his head back in maniacal laughter as he stood up from the ground.
Take a look around, Lucifer.
He spanned his arms out.
You're in hell, and this is your final purpose.
For the first time since coming here, the black soulless eyes finally showed an ounce of fear as he watched the boogeyman walk away. Pulling back the huge, sliding metal door, Luca walked through it, putting himself on the other side. When he then spoke, it made the devil himself turn cold as the metal door started sliding back into place.
And we are just getting fucking started.
Chapter 49. Off into the beautiful, dark abyss. When Luca came up the stairs, Chloe's heart jumped at seeing him in his all-black suit, so much so that he literally took her breath away.
You're back early,
she said, holding the music box securely in her hand.
I finished early.
Closing the distance, he kneeled in front of her, staring at the cracked gold box.
You've never showed me this, darling.
Chloe opened the delicate box, showing him that it no longer played.
It belonged to my aunt. She birthed me for my mother, but she died in the process.
She remembered the words she had once heard her mother say to her father.
You can thank your daughter for killing her. I'm sorry you were never able to meet her, darling.
He pushed her hair back so he could see her face better. He seemed like he had already known what she was telling him.
Me too. I think she must have been really sweet. I think my father was in love with her.
I'm sure she was.
He smoothed his hand over the crack in the box like he always did to her scars.
How did it break?
Taking a deep breath, she told him the truth.
My father broke it one night after he had too much to drink. I used to listen to it every night, over and over and over, letting the lullaby sing me to sleep, like a mother would her baby.
Luca stayed silent, still rubbing the box with his fingers as he let her finish the story.
I searched forever, trying to find another one so I could hear the tune again. Then one day, I finally did. So I went to the little shop and was able to hear it once more.
Chloe put the box in his hands.
Now I'm happy he broke it, because it led me to you.
Leaning in, Luca gave her a hard kiss, swiping his tongue along her bottom lip before he pulled back.
I want you to have it now.
She told him the reasoning behind why she had pulled it out.
"Are you sure, darling?"
he asked, already holding the box like he cherished it, like how he cherished her.
"Yes."
She pressed her forehead against his.
"Besides, I have the one you gave me."
I missed having the box sitting on my desk. He revealed where it had sat for those 7 months as he carefully placed the box on the bed before he picked her up. She twisted her legs around his waist.
"Where are we going?"
"I need a shower, and you're going to join me."
He carried her into the bathroom and put her back on her feet as he grinned down at her.
"Did you do what I asked?"
"Yes."
Chloe blushed, her cheeks burning red.
"It wasn't easy. I've never shaved myself bare before."
He leaned down to her short stature, taking a bite of her lip.
"Next time, I can help."
No. "That is never going to happen, ever."
"We'll see."
He winked at her before he started shrugging out of his suit, setting his watch on the vanity.
"Get undressed."
A fire immediately started burning inside of her from his demand. Her body obeyed, pulling the black clothes away from her skin. Then she stood there, vulnerable in front of him, as his dark eyes caressed her porcelain skin, then to her cleanly shaven pussy. Chloe was able to see the pleasure he found just looking at her when his hardness grew. The man before her hadn't been satiated enough from the first time that she knew. Tonight, her body, mind, and soul hoped to help satiate his hunger. Luca gave her a scary smile as he opened one of the vanity drawers and took out a bottle of mousse. Then he wet a cloth under the water. Coming toward her, he then pulled her into the shower and urged her down onto the bench before kneeling in front of her. She was confused that he hadn't started the shower, and even more so when he revealed he also carried his lighter and a hair tie.
"Tie your hair back."
Chloe pulled up her long mass of hair, securing it with the band.
"What are you doing?"
she asked curiously, when he made her lean back until her abdomen was more level. Her question went unanswered as he sprayed the mousse into a small heart shape on her belly. Luca then flicked his lighter open, weaving it between his fingers and causing the flame to dance.
"Do you trust me, darling?"
Staring at the mesmerizing flame, she answered with,
"Always."
"Stay still,"
he ordered, while he drew the flame close to the mousse. Chloe's mouth dropped open when the flame danced right above her skin, following the pattern of the mousse. It was somehow even more mesmerizing than watching the tricks he could do with his Zippo. She guessed this was how he felt when he would touch his fingers to the flame. All she could feel was a small tingle of warmth.
"Did you like it?"
he asked, as he drew the flame close again, lighting the same pattern once more, except it burned out much quicker this time.
"Yes,"
she breathed when the flames had disappeared. Instead of lighting it back on fire, he took the damp cloth and wiped away the mousse. Then he drew an even bigger heart on her stomach with the mousse. The top curves of the heart were closer to her heavy breasts, while the bottom point rested on her shaved pussy.
"Now, do you trust me, darling?"
His green eyes flashed while he spun the lighter through his fingers.
"Always."
She repeated the word without hesitation. The flame drew closer, and she could already feel herself practically panting. When the heart-shaped pattern went up in flames, her head fell back, resting on the glass. She moaned as the flames licked between her thighs.
"Holy fuck!"
Luca kept it going, relighting the mousse over and over until it burned no more. Her heart raced when Luca wiped away the design, letting the cold, damp towel linger over her warmed skin. Then he turned the water on after he had moved the nozzle, waiting for it to warm before he put it back in its normal position. Luca's impressive body stalked up to her. He brought his hand to her hair, releasing the hair tie and letting her hair wildly fall back down. Then he slid his hand down to one of her huge globes, wiping away a trickle of water that rested on her nipple with his thumb, making it peak.
"Do you still like it after I set you on fire?"
"Yes." Her body became putty under his hands. "I'm not afraid of anything you do to me."
"Darling."
He twined a wet strand of her hair around his finger.
"Those are dangerous words to use around me."
He tugged the dark strand down, forcing her head to lower and sending her a silent message. Chloe's gray eyes grew as she stared down at his enlarged cock. "Are you sure you want to trust me? I never..."
"I'll take my chances."
Luca groaned when she dropped to her knees and took his arousal into her hand, inexpertly stroking his length. He stared down at her with fierce eyes as she leaned in closer.
"You're killing me, darling,"
he told her, on the verge of a growl. Biting her lip, she started to jerk away, but his grip on her hair stopped her.
"Don't you dare stop."
The low growl finally escaped.
"Open your mouth."
She timidly opened her mouth and took him inside. It was the most beautiful thing imaginable, seeing she pleased him. You could tell Luca thought the same thing as he looked down at her with intense eyes. It cleansed away the ugliness of his world, just like when he had first looked upon her scarred face, her face that mirrored the scars he had carried inside his heart for his mother. Luca started slow, giving her time to adjust before he couldn't hold back and started pumping into her mouth faster. The feelings that arose inside of him were so intense that he had to jerk himself out of her mouth, afraid he would come. The want and need to be inside of her was evident on his face when his hands went to her ass, lifting her up until he placed his arousal where he wanted it. Then, when he pushed her against the glass, soaring deep inside of her in one thrust, she screamed out, feeling on the edge of pleasure and pain.
"Luca!"
Pounding into her, he didn't hold anything back, giving her all of him. The roughness and ferocity of him scared her, but only a little, as she allowed the boogeyman to take what he wanted from her. He had been starving for too long, and she wanted to see the darkness still.
"Harder,"
she moaned. Luca's mouth covered hers, delving his tongue into her mouth as his hard length delved harder into her spasming center. Then he bit her bottom lip before slowly pulling back until he released it.
"This what you want, darling?"
"Faster,"
she moaned when the orgasm began to claim her body, sending her into a beautiful nightmare. The boogeyman had kept his promise as she began to beg him not to stop. He sent her off into the beautiful dark abyss over and over, until the beautiful nightmares replaced the devil's nightmares, one by one. Chapter 50. The Chains That Held Their Souls. Luca cradled her unconscious body in his arms. He hadn't been able to look away from her face since the moment she had drifted off to sleep. It killed him that he had to put her to sleep. What he was about to do to her killed him. She wasn't going to understand for a long while that he had to do it to save her and to set her and his mother's souls free. Sitting down on the bed, he held her for just a little longer. This was the last time he was going to be able to touch her for a long while. He began talking to her, hoping that somehow, when she woke up,
a part of her would remember the things he had said.
He was coming for you. He was going to take you away. He gave me no choice, Chloe. He tried to take you in the mall, and if I had let you walk 10 steps farther, Lucifer would have had you.
Luca stood, placing her slumbering body on the bed before he sat back down beside her, wanting, needing one more moment with her. He raised a finger to her porcelain face, stroking the scar he had dreamt about touching for 7 months. Smoothing his finger over the mark, the darkness in him rumbled, then stilled, becoming slow, steady, finding its purpose. He had thought he had already found his true purpose when he had seen her for the first time, but that had been only the half of it. His purpose was saving Chloe Masters, but his true purpose was them saving each other. Every day, he had felt himself become more insatiable. The darkness in him was walking a path of no return. And then he had touched her, and the heinous being inside that had been desolate and alone finally found hope. He was reborn. The boogeyman had found another the world viewed as a freak, as a monster. Luca smoothed his finger over her scar for just one more final moment.
I love you, darling. Please remember that when you wake up.
Chloe pressed herself closer to Luca, wanting to feel the warmth from his body as she rested her head on his shoulder. The light dusting of snowfall in January was so beautiful to look at under the lighted gazebo. It took her breath away every time, almost as much as when she looked into Luca's fully green eyes. She looked around, seeing the changes she and Luca had created back here, and the changes she had made within herself. Luca took her hand in his, pulling it onto his lap.
Do you know what day it is, darling?
She raised her head to look into his green eyes, her breath once again being taken away. Unable to find words, she simply shook her head.
You met me right here for the first time, 1 year ago today.
Her heart swelled at the fact that he had remembered.
I can't believe.
Chloe's eyes drifted to her left hand as Luca slid a diamond ring onto her finger.
It was my mother's,
he told her bittersweetly.
It's beautiful, she whispered.
A single tear running down her scar as her gray depths took in the glittering diamond that was held by an intricate design.
Do you know what I had to tell the shop owner to talk her into selling me the music box?
Chloe shook her head as more tears fell from her eyes.
The day we first met under here, I went back after only knowing you existed for 1 week. And I told her I loved you.
He said it with such a fierceness that she felt the chains that held their souls together rattle.
I love you,
she breathed with all her being, sending her own message to their souls. Luca leaned in, bringing his lips closer and closer to her scarred ones.
Marry me, darling.
This has been an Audible Studios production of Luca, written by Sarah Brienne, performed by Aaron Landon. Executive producers Rena Seth and Mike Charzik. Producer Neil Basic. Copyright 2017 by Sarah Brienne. Production copyright 2017 by Audible Inc. Audible Studios is a division of Audible Inc.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.